Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Josh Stites, president of J&S Construction, in today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So J&S Construction is I'm going to say legendary. Is that too much? Is that a lot of pressure to feel like?
Well, I guess it depends on what the legend is.
Right. So you're a construction company located here in Cookeville.
Yep.
And it's been around for a few generations.
It has. 1957 was the year that we started.
And so how old were you then?
Yeah. It had been going for a little bit before I came around.
A little bit. So what is J&S Construction? What do you guys do?
So we are a design build general contractor. We do about 80% of our work is design build. About 20% is hard bid. We focus most of our time in commercial, industrial, and churches.
So these are the, it's like a green and yellow signs that you see everywhere in town. Anytime there's construction in town, there's a J&S sign there.
Well, we're fortunate that Cookeville has been a very gracious hometown for us to be in. We get to work here a lot. Some people make fun of our green and gold. That they say it's kind of dated. Our logo's dated. So some even our own people poke fun at it, but it's
who you, I mean, it's who you are. It's like I said, kind of legendary, iconic, that you just, it's around town.
Yeah,
you see it places.
We're very fortunate that we have lots of opportunity here to get to work.
So you're kind of third down the row of this. Your grandfather started this company.
That's right.
And so do you know the founding story much? I feel like you probably had to tell this a few times in your life.
Yeah. So, my grandfather worked at, Builder Supply Company, which is still around, still going very strong. And, he ended up through a series of events, ended up starting kind of what we would now call a cash and carry, like a Lowe's type, building supply company. And, he ended up with all these extra materials from where somebody would buy half a pallet of brick, and he had all these other brick that he couldn't sell to anybody. And so he started building spec homes to use these spare materials, essentially. And he saw that there was opportunity there in the construction. It was funny. One of the houses that he built in particular with some brick, they were trying to use what they had. And so they just randomly placed these brick throughout the house, and the people came back several years later and said, "We want to do an add-on. Can you order some more of this brick pattern?" And he thought, "Oh man, how are we going to replicate that?" So, he was a visionary. He was a great man, as many in his generation lived. He passed away when he was about 88 years old, but lived a full life. He did some of everything, started businesses, he traveled, he served in the Navy. He was just a very likable guy, not an ounce of ego in him. And, so he was a great, founder for our company, kind of set the pace in many ways for the company that we are today. And, what started as spec homes with spare materials in 1957, has now grown to, a commercial contractor that employs about 80 of the finest carpenters in the area, and we're very fortunate for the rich legacy that he created for us.
So in 1957, I would think either you're kind of the skilled laborer type, or you're a businessman that you understand the numbers and the sense of running a business.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like maybe he had a little sense of both.
That's right. Absolutely.
How do you think he kind of developed that? Like how in 1957, it seems like you pick one track or the other.
That's right. So, he was going to Tennessee Tech. He had gone to the Navy, had served, at the end of the war, had, enrolled at Tennessee Tech. This opportunity came along to get into the building supply company. And he dropped out of school to do that. And so he kind of started down the business track, if you will. His contribution to the company, the building supply company, was basically what we'd call sweat equity. He just was going to work his way into the company, and he was a very innovative and creative mind. And so He, as now, then that added a lot of value to the company. And so he had the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Which is, like I said, I can't even imagine at that time to be able to have kind of be so diverse.
Right.
It's more common now, I think, a little bit, where people realize to run your own business, you have to kind of have both sets of skills.
Yep.
In case you're just joining us, we have Josh Stites, president of J&S Construction. So grandfather started it. So did your dad then take it over at some point?
Yeah. So in about 1971, my dad has a brother and a sister, and both his brother and his brother-in-law in the early 70s came back from college and started working in the family business with my granddad. Shortly after, all three of them were on board. My granddad packed it up and headed to the house. He wanted to do farming, and so he started what was then, I don't know, his fifth or sixth career. And so he left, and then the next generation took it over in the 70s and ran it, you know, up until today.
And so what do you think that, you know, I'm sure, again, growing up, that you've kind of heard stories that your dad, was he always like, yeah, I want to take over this company? Or do you think it was like, I'm never taking over this company?
So I think in those early days, even still in the 70s, it was really just a matter of survival. In many ways, I mean, the Lord has been very gracious to them and generous in how he's provided. But in those early days, there were lots of stories about when Friday payroll came around, there just simply wasn't enough money to cover the payroll. And it was whoever got to the bank first got their payroll check cash. Thankfully, we're not there anymore. But there were days, I don't think dad ever had a moment to really to step back and say, what do I want to do? You know, in theory, what do I want to become? It was just, we work, we put our head down and we work.
Yeah.
And, he's been good at that. It was 1999. My dad had just turned 50 in March. And in May, he took his first week's vacation. And, we ended up going on a trip to Alaska for a week. And, but for essentially his entire career up to the age of 50, every vacation was, we left Thursday night. We were gone Friday, Saturday, drove back Sunday. Like I say, it was just a matter of survival. They just worked because they had to.
So now to the day of 10-year-old Josh, I mean, is 10-year-old Josh like, yep, this is what I'm going to do? Or 10-year-old Josh is like, heck no, I ain't doing that.
So I always, I tell our guys in the field that I really learned about our business at the dinner table. And some of them would laugh and say, yeah, we've seen you use a hammer. Of course you did. Yeah. But I always heard my dad say the first generation was the entrepreneurial generation. You know, historically in family businesses, they're the ones that start the business. The second generation sees how hard the first generation worked and they come in and they grow it. And then the third generation loses it. And so that was always the encouragement we had growing up, that if you do decide to come back, that, you know, statistically, you're going to lose it, the company.
Yeah.
And so, you know, thanks for that boost of confidence. I was 37 before I joined the family business in a full-time role. I, of course, worked in it growing up. But I was 37 years old before I came back. And I really didn't have aspirations of being back. But, man, we're really fortunate and thankful we did.
So what were you doing for the first, you know, from 20 to 37, the first 17 years of your career?
Yeah, so my degree's in finance, and so I worked for the Treasury Department for a while in the investments division. Tennessee's unique in that all of the investments are done in-house. So, you know, now I think they're all the funds are up to $40 billion. So if you're a teacher or a public employee, your funds are invested in-house in Tennessee, and Tennessee's a unique state in that regard. Did that and also worked immediately before coming here in commercial real estate in Nashville before everything went quite as crazy as it is now. I was working for the guy who owned what was at the time the third largest locally owned commercial real estate portfolio in Nashville.
So was part of your thing, which we hear a lot, is that I got to get out of Cookeville. Everybody knows everybody. And especially you have, you know, a family business that's around and, you know, iconic and people know, you know, your grandma's grandma's grandma, was part of your thing like, I got to get out of here. I got to go to Nashville. I got to be just Josh, not Josh from the J&S, you know, hierarchy. I just got to be Josh that nobody knows.
Yeah, that definitely was a part of it. I wanted to prove, not really to anybody, but to myself, mm-hmm. that I could do it, whatever it was, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I had that experience. Things were great in Nashville. I never had the I want to leave Cookeville. I got to get out of Cookeville mindset. I happened to be out of Cookeville since I was 18, but I loved Cookeville. I always loved coming back, and this has always been home, even though I've lived other places. You mentioned everybody knows your grandmother. I want to say one thing about my grandmother. She, when my granddad was starting what is now J&S, she was the debt collector. And for those who knew my grandmother, she was, I don't know, 5'6", 5'8", and probably 5'6" or less. And, you know, didn't weigh 100 pounds. But when she went to collect the debt, she came back with it. And that she was legendary in that you just couldn't tell her no. I mean, she was a really convincing personality. Great. Again, just an incredible legacy that they both made for us. But she was, my grandfather would have told you, she certainly was a major reason for their success.
Well, and I think, you know, that phrase, behind every good man is a strong woman, that right. is kind of keeping the family, the business, the backbone of things together.
That's right.
You know, and like you said, there's three kids and they had three children, and she was probably, you know, kicking butt taking yep. care of that too. Yep. And you know, collecting all the money that they needed.
He told her that when they started working together, you know, real soon he established what we now would call boundaries. They didn't talk about that then, but he said, I'm gonna run the business, you run the house.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of their understanding, and they were a great team. I mean, they were a fantastic example of successful marriage in many aspects.
We'll get back to that in a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry. I'm Josh Stites, president of J&S Construction, and we were just talking about just the amazing kind of team that your parents or your grandparents formed. And so, do you think you kind of bought into that that special combination that at some point you thought I'll come back and be in the business, or you were just so scared that you were the third generation that you'd ruin it?
Well, I certainly admired what they had built here. And I saw from, as I said, learning about our business at the dinner table, I saw that this team that they had built was not just employee-employer relationship, but that there was a real care and concern for our team. And so we're in a really physically dangerous industry, right? So there are lots of ways to get hurt when you're building a structure. And so we thankfully have a really fantastic safety record, but we're not without challenges. You know, it doesn't happen by accident. And so I saw how my dad, growing up, how he really loved these guys that he worked with. And, you know, we prayed for them, some by name, some just collectively, keep them safe. And so that started to impress me that this family business was not really just a business. It was... it really was a family. There was a family aspect too. And so that was always really appealing to me. I was fortunate that I always had great teams that I got to work for when I was the employee, when I was on the other side of that. But I could see very easily how having a good workplace is literally life altering for some people. And so we try really hard to do that and to make it a place that people want to come work every day.
What have you done since taking over things, since becoming the president? What have you done to either perpetuate the company culture or maybe make some changes to update it since 1957, you know, to make it still have that culture that was the groundwork was laid early on?
Yeah. So one of the things that we did in 2018 or 2019 was, and this was an idea that came from one of our team members that we looked at for a long time, analyzed how this is going to work. But we have tried to go to 4 10-hour days, Monday through Thursday. So we want our guys to be home with their family, doing the things that they love doing, be it fishing or hunting or working on their farm on Fridays, and have that long weekend. Now, obviously, our business doesn't always allow everybody can't be home on Friday, and I'm in the office just about every Friday. So, we have the benefit in our industry of being able to schedule our jobs that way. So we know that if we're working longer days, Monday through Thursday, we can pick up slack from Friday. In fact, in some ways we found it, productivity has increased. And, unless you happen to be a competitor that's listening, in which case I would say it doesn't work at all. but it does perpetuate the culture that, we all work for a reason, and, we want our work to be about something bigger than us. But we also all come to work because we love our families. We want to provide for them, and we, you know, want to have this role in the community that we can contribute to. And so that's been a really big thing. We've had some guys threaten that if we ever tried to go back to Fridays, that they were going to riot in the halls and you know, burning tires in the office and things like that. So
pressure as a president. Yeah.
But it works really well. And again, on some projects, it just doesn't work. We've got to be out there 6 days a week. And so we do whatever we have to do to deliver for the client. But most of our clients love the fact that if, you know, we're able to tell them we're going to be done August 15th, we have 4 days scheduled to make that happen. If it works with their schedule, they know that now we've got not one but 2 days built into the schedule that we can make it up if there's weather delays or supply delays that are outside our control. So it actually has been a really great thing for us and been a great thing for our team.
In case you're just joining us, we have Josh with J&S Construction in today. So you mentioned being a part of the community. How do you feel like you allow your company to infuse? You mentioned that you love Cookeville. And so what do you do that kind of helps perpetuate the community? I mean, I think Cookeville's, you know, a diamond in the rough. Like, there's no place in the world like it. And how do you think that you are able to use J&S Construction to kind of help perpetuate that feeling?
Yeah. So we really, as I said early on, Cookeville's been a great place for our family and for our business. Our family's been here for 8 generations that we can go back and count. And so it's really been a blessing to us. And so we want to do our part to be a blessing to the community. So we, historically on a 10th anniversary of our company's founding, 40th, 50th, 60th, we do some big community give back. We built a Habitat for Humanity house in a day on our 40th year. On the 50th year, we donated and constructed the multipurpose building at Mustard Seed Ranch. On the 60th, we did a complete gut and remodel for the Cookeville Pregnancy Clinic. And those things were all donated. And those were the big things, but we're constantly able, and we're the fortunate ones to be able to, but we're constantly contributing to things like Teen Challenge and helping with the design of their new facility there, or there's an announcement that'll come out in the next few weeks about Homes for Heroes and our involvement there for some military servicemen. So there's, because of the nature of our business, because we're a design build firm and we have in-house architects and design capabilities, we're able to do a lot of paper things on paper, design work for clients. But we also have, because we whereas most contractors really just have a project manager on a job and they manage subs, we're unique in that we've said we want to have that labor in-house. And so we have the ability to lend our resources for other things.
Yeah. And well, and just be so giving and iconic. I think you guys were involved with the Heart of the City Playground with, I mean, there was tons of equipment that went out for that, that project. And so it's just, it's so cool to be able to kind of give back.
It is. And it's truly is our honor. I mean, we have the ability to help when the high school did the turf project this past year, we were able to play a small part in it along with other great contractors and great community members, companies of all different industries. We're just one cog in the gear here.
And I do think that that's a little bit why Cookeville is kind of the magical aspect that it is that everybody, like so many people, just feel like I'm just honored to be a part of this. Yeah. And we're okay with working hand in hand, side by side with our competitors.
Yep.
And that doesn't happen. I feel like that doesn't happen in other places.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, we've talked before, and you have a long tenure with your employees, which kind of leads into the culture that you guys have created. So tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, so one of the things that we're really most proud of is that in an industry that has, on average, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, a three-year tenure, ours this year surpassed an average tenure of 10 years. And so almost triple the industry average. We have taken a lot of effort to make J&S a place that people want to come to work. And that adds real value for our clients because our team has worked together before on a project. It's not their first project when they show up at yours. And so it also creates a real family-like atmosphere and a great place to come to work.
Well, and I'm sure, like you said, your clients enjoy then having your teams come and work on their sites, and it's right. Not like, oh, this is a pain in the butt to have these people in my space.
Right. And they now start requesting certain teams by name. So, hey, we want Coda and Danny to do this build out. And it's fun for them to get to have that reunion on certain jobs.
We'll get to more of that in a second. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Josh Stites in from J&S Construction. So it took you until you were 37 years old to come back and step back in. And it was that kind of fear of the third generation. So what have you done to make sure that you're not, you don't kind of fall into that curse?
Yeah. So we have an excellent team in place. This team was in place before I got here. So I'm not taking any credit for it, but we have organized our team, brought in different managers from certain divisions to help create a management team so that it's not, we're a family business in the truest sense, but we never want our family to be a limit on the business. And so we want to bring in some of the best ideas we have are from members of our team. And so we don't want to miss an opportunity to get better, to grow, to serve our clients better because we weren't asking others.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, you're so involved in J&S, like you said, from the time you were born, it was just kind of ingrained in you. And so sometimes that can kind of limit you.
Sure. Yeah.
So you said your brother is also part of the team.
That's right. Yes.
So if it goes down,
it's probably his fault.
So why is it that you get the fancy title and he does not?
Well, as
you flipped a coin.
We're really free with titles. I still take out the trash from the kitchen, so it's just a title.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen you in a suit. Do you wear a tie ever?
Only if someone passes.
My boss likes to say funerals and when someone's going to give us a big check is when he'll put a suit on or a blazer. It's the important things. Yeah. So what have you done? You said you kind of developed a leadership team. What other things have you, and that we don't need to age you necessarily, but how long has it been since 37 for you?
So I'll turn 40 this year.
Okay.
And I guess I was 36 actually when I came back. I thought I was 37, but we constantly wanting to be aware of our market. And one of the things that we've seen is that the Boyd School of Economics at the Haslam College of Business at UT says that Rutherford County their population is going to exceed Hamilton County by the end of this decade. So in the next 9 years, we'll see Murfreesboro bigger than Chattanooga, which is kind of hard to fathom if you grew up in this area. But there's a great need for affordable housing. And so we have taken the steps to create a new home building division that operates separate from J&S Construction. And it's a separate entity altogether. But it's to leverage some of the resources and the expertise that we have in-house to provide some affordable housing and some housing that the Upper Cumberland and Middle Tennessee is going to need in the coming decade.
So let's just touch base a little bit on the last year. 2020 was really hard for all business owners. Mm-hmm. And you said you employ 80 employees. I mean, talk about the dinner table conversations during that. That's a little bit of pressure.
It is. It absolutely is. We try to drive home the point with everybody that that you're responsible not just for your role, but there's 80 families and however many mouths that is to feed. So we want to ensure that J&S is successful. We're only successful when we help our clients and they come back to do business again and again. So we 2 years ago started a profit sharing plan with our employees. We just had an additional profit sharing opportunity this past week with our team, and so we want them to understand and to see that our success as a company has direct correlation to your success as a member of the team. And so we're always looking for ways that we can help everybody, all of us throughout the company, no matter what our title or what role we're doing, that we all associate delivering excellence for our clients equals the reward, equals the reward of continued business.
What do you think your 15 career outside prior to this, what do you think that kind of added to what you're doing now?
Yeah. So that was always a rule in the family, was that if you desired to come back to the family business, you had to go somewhere else first, because a couple of things. One, we want you to make mistakes somewhere else. Also, but more importantly, we want you to gain knowledge from other places. We don't want to just take what we know and pass it on. We want to take the best of what everybody else has to offer and pass it on. And so it really contributed a lot on how to lead a team and manage people. Like I said before, I was really fortunate to have some fantastic people that I got to work for. And I learned as much from the difficult ones to work for as I did the great ones.
I think that's something as I've personally kind of gone through my career path, leading a team is tough, and there's a lot that goes into that. And it's not just necessarily, you can go to school to learn all the finance, all the numbers that you want to learn, but nobody's teaching you how to lead 80 people, right, and care about their families and develop this company culture. No one's teaching you that.
That's right.
So, where do you kind of gain support for that from?
Yeah. So, I think what makes us successful as individuals, what makes, if we have any success as a company leading people, our success is always going to come down to the greatest example we have in servant leadership, that being the life of Christ. And so we try to emulate that. Sometimes, man, we fail blazingly. I mean, it's just going down in flames, but that's what we aspire to. And so that is, that sets a pretty high bar. It sets a pretty fast pace for us. And if we do that, we become the place that everybody else wants to work at, because, mm-hmm. Man, what a great example he set.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about kind of some places maybe around town, some projects that you guys have worked on or done that people could be driving around and, they're listening to the radio in their car right now, that they could say, oh my gosh, I'm right next to that place. That's a J&S place.
Yeah. So a project that we have going on now is the SAIC building build out at the old Regions Bank building in downtown Cookeville. That is now, we're in our fourth phase. And so when we finish this phase, the building will be completely remodeled. And
it's a cool building,
too.
It's cool. The views are cool. Yes. It's just a cool, iconic building.
And it was a great get for Cookeville, because these are great, high-paying jobs. And when they first selected Cookeville, they said, we can only select Cookeville if we can meet this deadline, because they had a federal contract they had to start. And so we were able to come alongside the Tennessee Tech Foundation and the city and all of our great subs and vendors and say, we've got to make this happen. And so that's a great one. Wheeler Orthodontics is a new, relatively new, couple years build. They're on Veterans Drive. It's a beautiful facility. And if you've never, maybe if you don't have kids in braces, you hadn't been on the inside, but unbelievable, beautiful building that we were thankful to get to be a part of. And just...
What's a personal favorite of yours?
Well, the SAIC was my first. It was a trial by fire project management job. And so that was one of my first ones. The Eye Centers of Tennessee, their new office located across from the new police station is probably one of my favorites because it's just such a beautiful building and they've done such a good job. They've been great clients.
We did a previous interview with Ray and, yeah, and they're just such a iconic,
they are,
you know, throughout the Upper Cumberland and, yes, and Ray is not even a doctor and just that business sense of, yep, how, and I love that J&S as well infuses into kind of the partnership of SAIC, like you said, bringing high jobs in there. If you guys couldn't have come in there and done what you did, SAIC wouldn't have been able to come in and bring these high jobs. And it kind of all, like you said, one cog on the in the gears.
Yeah.
And, so what's the 10-year, 20-year plan, do you think?
Yeah. So we have stated we have really no desire to be the biggest contractor. There's a lot of really big contractors out there that do $200 million a year. That's not who we aspire to be. We like the size that we are. We like being able to have, we truly are a relationship company. About almost 80%, about 74, 76% of the jobs that we'll do this year are with repeat clients. So we are high relationship, and we love that, love coming to work and getting to work with the people we get to work with. For example, Eye Centers of Tennessee, you know, mm-hmm, we've done multiple projects for them. And so we want to continue to get better at what we're doing. Our 10-year plan involves some of our the residential company that I mentioned and seeing it grow and provide the housing that the Upper Cumberland currently needs and is going to need even more as the years come by. And so we want to constantly be getting better and become the place that people choose to work at. We know that those who have the team in place in the years ahead are going to be those that succeed the most because skilled labor of all flavors is going to be harder and harder to get. And so if we can continue to create this company culture that people want to stand outside the front door to get to work in, if we can do that, it will benefit our clients greatly.
So is there a fourth generation? Are there fourth generations in the queue already?
Well, there is a fourth generation. It depends. that's a long time from now. We'll see. But, obviously
I feel as though there needs to be a female,
I agree,
sites along the way that comes in.
Well, and my daughter is, she's the middle child and she is the one that directs the boys.
Yeah.
And so she's probably the one with the most CEO-like tendencies. So she probably will be. She's fully capable.
I can't wait to see when that comes around. Yeah. So if people want to find you and get a hold of you, how do they find you?
The website's jsconstruction.com. We're on Twitter and Facebook, and you can always just stop in and see our facility. We've got a community room in our office that we welcome others to use if they need it. We've got a quartet that practices there once a week. The Ladies Pilot Club meets there every month. We've got some study groups that meet on Saturday morning. And so
you guys are located just off of Willow. Is that correct?
That's right. At the intersection of Interstate Drive and Willow. We've got the big flag in the corner.
By the skate. Across from the skate. If anyone knows where the skate is. So get a hold of them. jsconstruction.com. Josh, thank you so much for coming in today. It was great to have you.
Thanks, Tiffany.